Just a short reminder. Our present retreat conference will be followed by Mass at 11:15. So we'll finish at least 5 to 10 minutes before Mass time with this conference. Then right after Mass will be lunch. And there is still silence. Then our closing conference will be at 1:15 here in chapel, followed by exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, investiture in the Confraternity of Martyrs Medal, the blessing of religious articles, and the conferral of the Apostolic Blessing at the close of the retreat. As you would expect, our present meditation is on the gift of piety. As we've said, the last three gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts of the will, fortitude, piety, and the fear of the Lord. Needless to say, in the English language, if there is one word which is ambiguous, it is piety. Oh, you know, she's that pious one. The Latin word pietas literally means loyalty to the sources of our being. Loyalty to the sources of our being. Piety then is the loyalty of children to their parents, of students to their teachers, of members of the church to the leaders in the church, and uppermost, piety is the loyalty of creatures to the Creator. The Church's official definition of the gift of piety is a supernatural gift which inclines us to the faithful practice of religion. Piety is a supernatural gift which inclines us to the faithful practice of religion. In the language of Christianity, religion is our responsibility to the God from whom we came and for whom we were made. Thus, we distinguish the Ten Commandments into the first three commandments, which are the commandments of religion, and the last seven, the commandments of morality. Piety then is the instinctive grace, notice instinctive grace, that we receive, I repeat, when we were baptized, to live out the first commandments of God. And as we've been saying, the gifts of the Holy Spirit for our super, that is above natural, inclinations, urges, instincts. Here, piety is the gift which inclines us to the practice of justice towards God and of justice to others because of our justice towards God. Strange language. What can we possibly mean by justice towards God? Well, justice means giving another one what that person deserves. Justice means respecting the rights of others, giving others what is their due. So we, you know, what word shall I use? In our secularized America, in our de-Christianized America, how blind we have become to the practice of justice towards God. If anyone has rights, it is God. And we have the duty to respect the rights of God, otherwise known, oh, how we need more, how we need more than a big 7-inch high, unabridged English dictionary to understand our faith. That's what religion is. Religion is justice towards God. And the gift of piety is that gift which we received when we were baptized, inclining us, urging us, dare I even say, impelling us, but supernaturally, to respect the rights of God, and then to respect the rights of others, because, and watch it, in the measure of, determined by, our practice of justice towards God. No human being, no one on earth, has any rights unless those rights first belong to God. That is why over the years, in giving by now dozens of lectures on the pro-life movement, I have said, I repeat to my dying day, the crime of abortion is a crime against God, a crime of injustice against God. The moment a child is conceived, and let's be clear, conception means the fertilization of the ovum. It means God creating an immortal soul. It thirdly means God infusing, as we say, that immortal soul into the just, fertilized ovum. At that moment, a child, not an embryo, a human being is conceived, and that human belongs to God. All kinds of ova are fertilized. But unless God creates and the noble soul, and infuses that just created soul into the fertilized ovum. You may have an animal, but you don't have a human being. We are still on the introduction. Body then is the gift which, to use one more word, urges us to assist and, what shall I say, assist and relive our lives according to the will of God. Enables us to assist. Assist whom? Assist everyone who enters our lives to bring that person to the God from whom that person came. Your principal responsibility as mothers. You have so many duties, but your main responsibility is to bring that child back into the arms of the God from whom that child came. As I've told so many parents over the years, unless you cooperate with God's will and bring children into this world, well, heaven would be empty. You do indeed bring children into this world, but let's be clear in our prepositions. Into this world, but dear God, not for this world. As you know and I know, how many parents know, Lord, have mercy. See, the children whom they've conceived, given birth to, raised, maybe even given a Catholic, at least Catholic in quotation marks, education, and then having these children and hear it, not lose their faith. No Catholic ever loses his faith. A Catholic can only abandon the faith. Is our second last meditation in this retreat. I trust you have made resolutions and will live up to them. Do not just spend, but extend yourselves, you and your husbands. You will never cease to be mothers. Your mother's as knows the moment you, well, gave birth to your children. But, as I've said so often, the word mother is a noun, but it is made a verb. You are to mother your children for heaven. That's why you brought them into this valley of tears. As I've said, my favorite definition of insanity, and having a graduate degree in psychology, I think I know something about insanity. An insane person is one who wants to stay in this world. Period. You've got PhDs, professors, at our universities who should be institutionalized. And I mean it. What then is this gift of piety? It is, notice, that divinely infused inclination which urges us to the faithful practice of religion. That religion means respecting the rights of God. How many laws we have in a country like ours. Some time ago, I gave a lecture at a meeting of Catholic lawyers. Among them was a lawyer who served, with the Illinois House Call it of Representatives. One of his jobs was to each year revise the Illinois statutes. He asked, "What do you mean?" Well, he said, "I'm not exaggerating. Every year they make at least 1,000 changes every year in the laws of the state of Illinois." No human law, I repeat, no human law is binding on the conscience unless and only insofar as that human law conforms to the laws of God. That's what religion, in the profoundest meaning of that word, means. The laws of God are religion. And the gift which inclines us to respect and respond to the laws of God is the gift of piety. And now, we go on. It is one thing to use an expression like, piety is the gift which inclines us to respect the things of God. But concretely and practically, we distinguish, or crucial this is, we distinguish between what? A distinction between what we call things which are sacred and things which are profane. I've taught too many students for too many years not to know that for many Catholics, they've got to keep refining their vocabulary. What do we mean? My things that are sacred. Sacred persons. Sacred places. Sacred things. They are the places, the persons, and the things that belong to God. What are? Well, persons, places, and things. Strange vocabulary, but I'm talking now as a Catholic. What is profane belongs to this world, the rostrum I'm standing at, the speaker into which I am talking, the amplifier, the recorder, the camera over there, the air we are breathing, the shoes we have. Oh, by the way, one of my most memorable classes at the Sikh University, I had a course in Eastern religions, mainly Hinduism and Buddhism. 35 students. Most of the students came to class barefooted. They wanted to learn about Hinduism. Some of them did not even know how to spell the word. Whatever belongs to this world and the language of the Catholic Church is profane. What belongs to God is sacred. That was, I repeat, by way of introduction. What then, to be concrete, is this gift of piety? It is the gift which enables us to see God as not only, and this is the Church's official teaching, see God not only as our Creator and our Lord, but as our loving Father. Oh, how we need to grow in our understanding of God as our Father. A Father is the one, yeah, what else? Like a mother, a father, fathers, the children, brings them into this world and out of love. Every time I use a word, I think to myself, if only I had another half an hour to explain the words we are using. God is our Father because He is our loving source of being. And when you love, hear it. When you love, you seek for nothing for yourself. A perfect synonym for the noun love is the verb give. Talk about God giving. Until God made us, and He is our Creator, because though our bodies were provided for by our mothers and fathers, the soul, without which we would be, well, irrational animals. We are human beings because God, out of love, created, which means made out of nothing, our souls. What an important article of faith that is. In today's widespread, as the Holy Father calls it, culture of death. We were nothing and we would be nothing. Are there some empty chairs? Yes, there are a few here in chapel. You'll be the empty chairs and I would be, well, an empty rostrum, except for the love of God, who gained and gains nothing nothing from having made us, from whatever we do as we seek for Him. God gains nothing. Talk about loving. As our Lord tells us, we are to address God as Abba, which means Father. This gift of piety has been given to us to foster filial respect. Filial respect for God and the things of God. My mother told me, when I reached the age of reason, "Johnny, I taught you how to kneel before you could walk. I know exactly what the knees are for. They are for kneeling." Oh, how we need to practice and inspire piety in others. Filial respect by adoring God as our loving Father. And what a statement that Jesus made. Talk about mystery. There is greater joy in heaven over one sinner doing penance and over 99 just. Good morning, my fellow sinners. Good morning. You're all sinners. And so far from questioning, and we're still doubting, God's love for us, the more deeply we have sinned and offended Him, the more we are to be sure He loves us. But watch it. To the last words in this retreat, how I keep repeating, we've got a free will to respond to God's loving will to us. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we hope to have, everything we hope to become, everything came, comes, and will come from God. The gift of piety fosters in us a generous love for God, up to deep sacrifice. Pardon me for asking you. How many of you can finish this sentence? "The capacity of the human mind to forget is..." Thanks. At least don't forget that. Over the years, how many times I've said it, but I know the capacity of the human mind to forget. There are four parts to sacrifice. And we're living up to this gift of piety in the measure that we love this God from whom we came and for whom we were made by living lives of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the voluntary surrender of something precious to God. Voluntary, number one. Surrender, number two. Something precious, number three, to God, number four. And whatever resolutions you've made or please God will have made during this retreat. Ask our Lord, and then with your mind decide. We decide with the mind what are some of the precious things that God wants me, not someone else, wants me to surrender. And hear it, surrender voluntarily with my will. The statistical average, the last I've seen, of Americans watching television, that every man, woman, and child in America, the average is 28 hours a week. My God! Reading newspapers and magazines. I usually get back from the office around 8 to 8:30 in the evening. Then before I retire, I get a bite to eat, my third meal. On the table in the rectory will always be, well, the daily papers scattered all over the table. First thing I do, I push the papers away, and always bring with me some either good Catholic magazine or a book. And as St. Ignatius tells us, and I'm telling you, while the body is being nourished, that the soul also have her food. My rule, I am obliged, hear it, to nourish my mind even while I am nourishing my body. Am I clear? And over the centuries of Jesuit history, we used to have reading of some spiritual book at every meal, except breakfast, which were always in silence. At table, don't waste your time talking about all kinds of silly things. What is this gift of piety? It is the gift which urges us to see God in everyone who enters our lives. In other words, to love others by giving our hearts to God in the sacrifice. But watch it. Our love for others, as we've said more than once, perhaps the last time in this retreat, our love for others must be guarded, directed by the virtue of prudence. As we've said, you are to love everyone. Period. But you're not to love everyone in the same way. What is this gift of piety? Is a gift which fosters strange language, fosters affectionate obedience. What a combination. Fosters loving obedience. Our own loving obedience to the will of God has manifested in the church's teaching, and the church's teaching not only for the will, but the church's teaching for the mind. And whatever you do as the fruit of this retreat, I beg you, grow in your understanding of the faith. Because the most precious faculty we have to give back to God is our minds. In other words, that we think, the thoughts of God. Give God in our minds. Give God in our lips. Pardon me. We have God in our homes. Mother and I were very poor. I'll never forget two pictures in the one large room that Mother and I had. One of the Sacred Heart and the other of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hope I've said this before, or better, I won't ask you, so not to embarrass anyone. As a rhetorical question, how many of you have holy water in your homes? How many of you have, pardon me, a holy water fountain? Holy water is something sacred. When I could walk, holy water fountain was very low. I never walked into my home, never. Without always. Mother made sure the holy water fountain always had holy water in it. Put my fingers into the water, blessed myself, and the first thing I was taught to say from infancy when I entered the house was, praised be Jesus Christ. What an ocean of issues this gift of piety covers. To respect the things of God, to have around us, near us, with us, in front of us, what is sacred? To keep reminding us of God. One more statement. The sacrifice of the Mass is at 11:15.